SS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, Hurricane Milton. I'm Brian Clark. Right now, there are more than 3 million power outages in Florida as Hurricane Milton moves across the state after making landfall in Siesta Key. Emergency crews have had to stay inside because of unsafe conditions, but they'll head out as day breaks. Damage will become clear as day breaks, and ABC's Jim Ryan says some damage is already apparent.
In St. Petersburg, Hurricane Milton shredded the fabric roof of Tropicana Field, home to baseball's Tampa Bay Rays. The stadium was being used as temporary housing for 10,000 utility workers and emergency responders, but nobody was hurt. Across the state in St. Lucie County,
we had multiple tornadoes touch down here, and we have lost some life.
Sheriff Keith Pearson says search efforts continued through the night. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Tampa.
There's also no drinking water in St. Petersburg because of a water main break. This is ABC News. Sean Combs is due in court today for a hearing expected to establish boundaries for his trial on sex trafficking charges. He's pleaded not guilty. He is also requesting to be released on bond. His attorneys also accused the federal government and prosecutors of unlawful leaks. Tesla today set to unveil a self-driving taxi at a California event. ABC's Mike Dubusky has the details.
Earlier this year, a National Highway Traffic Safety Administration analysis of more than 900 crashes where Tesla's autopilot system was active found the tech likely contributed to more than 460 of those crashes. Patrick George with Inside EVs says that will hang over Tesla's robo-taxi event.
This all speaks to what a risky bet this is for Tesla, and that they're kind of going all in on a very unproven technology and are making very clear that's what they see the future as, and they've got to deliver.
Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the, not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important, and most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin wildlife officials are warning about a disease fatal to deer commonly known as EHD. The Department of Natural Resources has confirmed cases in deer from Chippewa, Jackson, and Waukesha counties. EHD is spread by insects that bite. Humans can't get it. Anyone who sees a sick or dead deer is urged to contact the DNR. Wisconsin crews are standing by to help Florida recover from Hurricane Milton. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Power crews from Cedarburg, Oconomowoc, and Hartford are preparing to assist with recovery efforts. We Energies is also sending a team of over 24 workers down to help restore power and mitigate the impact of the hurricane. To find out how you can help, visit civicmedia.us/help. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks take on the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks and the Lakers in Milwaukee tonight for a preseason matchup. LeBron James questioning on Twitter why the Lakers have to travel all the way to Wisconsin for just one preseason game. NFL, the Packers host the Arizona Cardinals Sunday. Romeo Doubs back at practice after his suspension. Matt LaFleur on what he told the players on how to handle any issues.
You have to have a conversation. There's usually a chain of command with that in terms of going to your position coach, addressing the issue. But how does it fit the confines of the team's wants. We're in the business of winning.
Packers wide receiver Bo Melton talked about facing his younger brother, Max, who plays defensive back for Arizona.
You know, I've been hearing it all day, me and Max. So just like since little kids, we always been on the same team. This is the first time we're actually going against each other on separate teams. So, you know, I'm definitely excited to play against him too, you know, just to see, you know, how good he's gotten. Definitely can't wait for the matchup.
That's Packers receiver Bo Melton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We only have a couple more days of this fairly mild summer-like weather before things change. We're talking highs dropping into the 50s by late weekend into next week. Today, sunny, 70, 51 tonight. We'll get to around 78 for a high tomorrow. Then Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 63. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a heads up about debt collection scams. Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau will be here. Alexander Vindman in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge-watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight. It's time. Let's go. Let's do this. It's a Wednesday night edition of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am your host, Pete Schwabba. Riding shotgun tonight, as usual, is the lovable producer, Conrad. How are you doing, Conrad?
I'm doing fantastic.
I'm going to ask you this again, and I've asked you this several times. Do you prefer Conrad or Con or the K-Man or just the man?
You know, it's whatever you're feeling that day.
That's the beauty of your name. Okay.
And, you know, it's not with a C, okay? So don't say it like it's like you just did. You just said it with a C.
No. That was a K, not a K. C is lazy. K is hard hitting, like George Carlin says. Conrad. So we're going to do this. We got a great show tonight. Very excited to welcome for the first time to the show tonight at 6:35, former Milwaukee police officer and now author and founder of copsandwriters.com. Patrick O'Donnell will join me. We'll talk about Patrick's books that he's written. He has a title character called Michael Collins in his books about police officers, which sound outstanding. He has a podcast. He's also a consultant on movies that deal with police officers and crimes. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that. I'm very excited because, you know, as I've mentioned on the show before, I'm a big fan of cop shows and cop movies. I love it. So I'm very excited to have Patrick on the show tonight. And maybe he'll even share a little bit about his experiences as a police officer in MKE. So that's at 6:35. And then WGBW producer, new Wisco Weekend contributor, Amanda Nimmer joins the show at 7:35 tonight. And she had kind of an interesting topic to talk about, and it was movies that change your life or that stick with you, that kind of traumatize you almost and have very unforgettable scenes. We'll talk to Amanda about that. She might even share a few things going on around the Fox Valley or Northeast Wisconsin for kids, Halloween events, that kind of thing. She's a young mom. How many kids does Amanda have? She has like 9 kids, right?
She has two.
2 kids. That's what I thought. I think it was 2 or 9. I couldn't remember. So that'll be fun to have Amanda on the show. She's produced the show before, but tonight she's a guest. So that'll be fun. And that leads us to tonight's question. Inspired by Amanda's talking point tonight. Name a movie or TV show, something scary that stayed with you and maybe even changed your life on some level. And I'll just go first. Mine is from the movie Candyman. Did you see Candyman?
I know what it is, but I've never seen it because it's a horror film.
Oh, that's right. You don't like. You know, I don't know why. I went to see that movie in the theaters in the early 90s. I know. My wife and I went, and it was at the Harlem and Irving Plaza in Chicago. We went. I don't know why we went. We probably went because I had this huge crush on Virginia Madsen, and she's the female lead in the movie. And so we went, and supposedly if you say Candyman 9 times in the mirror, or no, 6 times or something like that, if you look in the mirror and say Candyman several times in a row, whatever it is, the Candyman appears. So it's not like that's freaked me out my whole life, but I can tell you I'm never going to tempt fate and do that.
What happens if you just think it?
You have to say it, I think. Okay. I think those are the rules.
So have you gone to a mirror and thought it?
I've gone to a mirror and say, I'm not going to think it, even though I thought it, and I'm certainly not going to say it because I feel like God has a sense of humor and might put a Candyman behind me just for kicks. So I'm okay. I'm not ever going to do that. No, that freaked me out. I was like, why would I ever do that? Because typically when you're standing there, you're alone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's Virginia Madsen. Tony Todd played the Candyman. He's a good actor. He kind of had that. He has a really intimidating, he has a very otherworldly look to him. Kind of a, you know, he plays a good tough guy, but he also plays a good kind of otherworldly character too. He has a great look. And he played the Candyman. So I don't even remember. I couldn't tell you how the movie ended. I don't think it was very good. But that did affect me. And another movie called Event Horizon affected me. And it was with Sam Neill. And it was, I think it dealt with astronauts that were on the edge of the Milky Way or something. And an event horizon is like when you see the next world or, let's Google that, Con. I got to figure that out because I used to know what that was. And now I'm talking about it and I don't know what it means. But it is a movie and it was very scary because like chaos set in. And they were pulling their own eyes out, and it was just this weird chaos. Lawrence Fishburne is in it. Yeah, Sam Neill. There it is. And that movie stayed with me, too. Yes, it's the boundary around a black hole beyond which no light or other radiation can escape. So basically, in this movie, they were getting sucked into a black hole. Now, that's very unlikely to happen to me because I have no intentions of traveling into space. That doesn't mean the Earth couldn't get gobbled up, though. It was a very, the effects were just weird, and it was like this chaos. Everybody was losing their minds. But I would have to say Candyman, because it got to me enough to the point where I thought, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to say Candyman 3 times and look in a mirror. I just don't want God to play a joke on me, and I know he or she would. What's yours?
Oh, I mean,
I know you don't watch those movies, but you must have seen something accidentally.
You know, when I was younger, I watched, I was at a birthday party. I forgot whose it was. It was so long ago, but for some reason we all watched the movie Final Destination. I think it was like the 4th one.
Yeah.
And Final Destination is just pretty much like people with in traumatic deaths, like the whole movie. It's crazy.
Is it like Faces of Death?
Pretty much.
Like when they showed, oh, that's.
So one part of the movie, they go through a car wash and they forget to roll the sunroof up. So one of the, like, I forget what the things in the car wash, you know. The
oh,
things,
yeah. The brushes or whatever.
It went inside of it. It like spun them around. Like,
this is real?
No, it's not. Oh. It's not inspired by real events.
Oh, okay.
It's just, yeah. So I was scared to go in a car wash for a while.
That does not sound funny at all. I'm not going to lie.
You see, you know, Amanda brought up a point yesterday with Final Destination. She will talk about it later. So
okay,
Amanda and I will talk about Final Destination. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about.
I probably am not going to see that because it sounds absolutely terrible. Is there a plot or is it just vignettes of people getting killed?
I mean, there's kind of a plot. It just is. I don't know how they made. I think there's 7 movies of it. I don't know how they went up that far.
A lot of different ways to die. All right. So that's our. You know, let's do a 2-parter actually, because our first guest, Patrick O'Donnell, who will be here at 6:35, comes from the world of law enforcement. I love cop shows. I love cop movies. So let's do a 2-parter. You can name a movie scene that stayed with you or traumatized you so that it just freaked you out so you don't want to think about it. You don't want to see that movie anymore. For me, it's Candyman. Or your favorite cop show. I love cop shows. I've watched almost all the Law and Orders. I love the show Bosch. It's got a noirish quality to it. It's beautifully shot, wonderfully written, and the characters are great. So there you go. My movie is Candyman. My cop show is Bosch. This is maybe the first time this has ever been done in radio, Conrad. We're breaking new ground here today. So we're turning the genre on its ear. So yeah, good show. Fun guest. Great question. Chime in like you guys always do. It's great when you play a part. This is the anniversary, by the way, of the Joan Rivers, The Late Show on Fox, on the Fox network. Joan Rivers in 1986. I want to say she was the first female talk show host, late night talker. And she's an acquired taste. She's kind of like the anti-Johnny Carson. Like Johnny was very, very mellow. Who's just talking? Oh, it was Paul Mercurio was just talking about how Johnny could be whatever he needed to be for the guest to get a good interview. If he had to do more heavy lifting, he would do that. If he needed to sit back and just kind of let the guest go crazy like Don Rickles or Rodney Dangerfield or Joan Rivers, he would do that. And Joan Rivers is a talk show host. I can't remember how many seasons it lasted, but she definitely had her fans. And that was on the Fox network that dropped tonight, today in 1986, which is kind of cool. Here's a weird thing I saw. You know, we're so addicted to our phones and just everything, social media and electronics and everything is tech. In 1976 today, Alexander Graham Bell and Thomas Watson made their longest telephone call to date. It was a distance of 2 miles.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Talk about 4G.
Yeah, no kidding. And they probably thought the world was going to hell then. Oh, you're on that phone calling your friend down the road 2 miles. What about me? I'm right here. That is insane. And I also saw that iPhone users, this is Todd Michael shared this stat, iPhone users admit that they look down on Android users. 22% admit they think less of someone if they see a green text bubble come through. And 23% claim they'd never date an Android user. What is the matter with people? I mean, that's like someone thinking they're cooler because they have a better pickup truck than their neighbor. I mean, talk about priorities being completely out of whack. Here are a few more quick stats on America's iPhone Android divide. Most people with Androids are aware iPhone fans are judging them for it. 52% say they've been teased or made fun of by an iPhone user. That's nuts. 21% of iPhone users admit they've excluded someone from a group chat because the person had an Android. 42% of iPhone users have used a separate third-party messaging program like WhatsApp to accommodate their pathetic Android-using friends. 30% of Android users have thought about getting an iPhone just to stop the peer pressure. You ever use Android before?
I've had Androids, yeah.
Me too. They're cheaper.
Yeah, I will say that I like my iPhone better because it doesn't, I don't know, my Android did not, at the end of it, it was just so slow, it was laggy, I don't know. So I've never had that problem with iPhones.
I like the iPhone better. Everything I own is Mac. They sucked me in like 1989.
I will say, though, I don't judge anyone if they have an Android.
That's because
totally fine.
That's because you've walked a mile in their shoe. You've walked a mile phone to ear.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back. What are we going to do? We got good clips.
We got some good
ones. A lot of stuff to get through. We got a lot of information to lay on you guys tonight. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night edition of Nightlight. I'm Peach Wabba. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. And Elon Musk's Super PAC is offering a $47 recruiting bounty for referring registered voters who then sign a petition pledging support for the First and Second Amendments. So what's behind it, and is it illegal? The America PACS petition is merely a statement of support, not a qualifying ballot initiative signature. So why spend such ridiculous amounts of money? Such petitions are often used by political organizers to build mailing lists. With its signing deadline of October 21st, it will likely be used to drive turnout to the polls November 5th, thus the need for registered voters. And surprise, surprise, it's only available to voters in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, and North Carolina. In early August, CNBC reported that the Michigan Secretary of State investigated America PAC for apparently misleading unregistered voters who clicked on its website's Register to Vote button. If the voter had a swing state zip code, they were directed to a longer form which collected mailing list information. It was later taken down. But is it illegal to pay someone for a referral? While it is illegal under federal and state law to pay someone to register, vote, or not to vote, sadly, it's not illegal to convince someone to willingly give away their personal information. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Ann Egan Walkoff from Wisconsin Native Vote.
20 years ago, I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee. I went to register, and the woman was like, "You're Indian? Indians don't vote. You can't vote."
What?
So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans, did I tell them that story? And they're like, "What?" And that gets their dander up. And I'm going to go yeah, vote for sure.
Absolutely.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Today, I believe. One of my all-time favorite songs. I didn't know if I should use that or the song from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Somebody's Baby. That's a great tune as well. But checking the text line, Conrad's mom, Paula, checks in and says, "I saw Cujo now. Now I'm skittish around St. Bernards, even though I know they are generally good dogs." That's a great answer.
My mom tells me about that a lot.
Cujo?
I've definitely heard that many times before.
That's a great line. We were just talking about Chevy Chase. There's a great line in Fletch where he peeks his head into a house and he goes, "Cujo?"
Was that Caddyshack? No.
No, that was I'm 99.9% sure it was Fletch.
Okay.
Cujo? From the 715, Rosemary says, "Creature of the Black Lagoon, still cannot sleep with foot hanging outside the covers." Rosemary, I am the same way. Isn't that weird? I don't like my feet outside, even in the summer. Or I either have to go whole body out or nothing. I can't just let my feet hang out. That's so weird that you said that, Rosemary. And I'm totally with you on that. Great answer. And then Todd Michael says, "Salem's Lot. The original. Watched it Sunday night. Creep me the bleep out, as always." I have to watch that. I have not seen, or at least I haven't seen it all the way through. I have to check that out. Steve says, "No Country for Old Men. Seen it once, and that was enough." All right. This is interesting, Steve. That's actually one of my all-time favorite films. And I don't know if your dad meant if this was like a cop movie because Tommy Lee Jones plays a sheriff who's great, or just that it was creepy because it was incredibly creepy. Anton Chigurh is one of the best characters in movie history, played by Javier Bardem. And he is really creepy. And that show or that movie stayed with me as well. But I'm so jaded now, I can sit through the worst parts of it when he's putting that cattle compressor to people's heads. He uses it to unlock doors and shoot the lock off the door so he can get in, but he kills a couple people with it too, and it's creepy. But it's just such a great movie. Josh Brolin is great. Tommy Lee Jones is great. Anton Chigurh, really good movie, but also a great text, Steve. All right, we have a kind of a contest we're doing. Hello, older woman outside waving at us. Should we refer them to Sagellato?
Yeah, I think so.
they might be going in for some sad gelato. We have a contest. If you're in the Marinette area or the 715 area and you're interested in a really fun time, we have, we're going to give, is it two tickets, Conrad?
Yep.
It's called Brews and Blues. No, help me.
Blues Brews.
Blues Brews.
And Barbecue.
And Barbecue. The name is not really on the ticket.
Yeah. It's Blues, Brews, and Barbecue.
All right, I got to write this down. Blues, Brews,
and Barbecue.
And Barbecue. And those are, boy, those three things check a lot of boxes. Blues, Brews, and Barbecues. This is at the Marinette Community Rec Center. It's taking place November 2nd. So just a couple weeks away, a little over 2 weeks away, from 5 to 10 p.m. They do great stuff there. Sean Katzbach is the marketing director there. If you're in that area, I would highly recommend you check it out. The music is going to be Joe Moss and the Joe Moss Band and Taranzo Cannon. I don't know Taranzo. I know there's a Joe Moss in Marinette. I don't know if it's the same guy or if he is or if that's an out-of-town act. But November 2nd, a great time at the Marinette Community Rec Center where they have pickleball. Emerson will be nice. Very excited. Emerson will be there soon, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I forgot to sign up. Darn the luck.
yeah, I forgot.
I would go watch him, though. I have to have him remind me because I'll go check it out and say hello and maybe get some interviews. November 2, 5 to 10 p.m., check it out. Blues, Brews, and Barbecues at the Marinette Community Rec Center. It's just about a 45-minute drive from here. We are giving two tickets away. If you are the first person to text in and put the word blues in the text, the tickets are yours, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're interested or if you're in the Marinette area, and it's a good value. These tickets are $17.50 a pop. So that's pretty good. That's a savings of $35, Conrad. You see, I
quick
just did
math.
That. I know.
Oh,
I just did
okay.
It in my head. So let us know. If you text in the word blues, and the first person that does so gets two free tickets to the Blues, Brews, and Barbecues. What's your favorite out of those three?
I would have to go with Brews.
I have to go... You know what? I'll say barbecue, or I'll say blues, just because I don't hear a lot of blues in Northeast Wisconsin, and I love blues. Then barbecues, then brews. Really, you can't go wrong with any of them, though.
You know, I love blues, too, so I'd go brews, and then blues.
Okay.
And then wash, and then, you know, you need the snack in you, too, so
absolutely.
Barbecue.
Your tummy gets a little grumbly.
Yeah.
Go get some barbecue. And the blues sound better with some brews, at least in my experience. from the 608, Artex, never-ending story. Nope. I don't remember that. Was there a traumatic scene in The NeverEnding Story?
I've never seen it.
I've seen parts of it, but it seemed like it went on forever. Get it? And the 608 also says The Wire. Yes. You know, I said Bosch, and I'll stick to that with my answer, but The Wire is, I think, considered maybe the best cop show ever. Actually, The Wire... A lot of critics will argue it's the best show ever. And I've watched that through all the way twice. And I've watched Bosch a couple times too. Sherry says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I'll say blues, but don't live up there. I play blues and jazz. All right, Sherry. if you want a road trip, Sherry, these tickets are yours because you did say blues. But I don't think you're interested in a road trip. Sherry's probably our most musical listener most nights. All right, I've yacked away here. We've got, do we have time for a Tony Shalhoub clip? It's Tony Shalhoub's birthday. We don't?
No, we do.
All right, speaking of, investigator shows Monk, Tony Shalhoub is one of Northeast Wisconsin's own. We'll find a place to play his clip a little later in the show. We have a great clip of his from Quick Change. Did we play that last week when we were talking about Quick Change? I thought we played the other two.
We played it.
Did we play Tony? Okay.
But it's so funny.
Very funny. He's great in the movies. Absolutely seen stealing. Sherry says sorry. Sherry, no reason for apologies. We'll do what we can to get rid of these tickets. All right, in just a few minutes, folks, after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed, Patrick O'Donnell will be here, and we're going to talk about some of the books he's written, some of his time with the Milwaukee Police Department, his blog, his podcast. He does it all. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. I come back to the place you are. All my instincts, they return. The grand facade, so
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
This is a special report from ABC News, Hurricane Milton. I'm Brian Clark. Right now, there are more than 3 million power outages in Florida as Hurricane Milton moves across the state after making landfall in Siesta Key. Emergency crews have had to stay inside because of unsafe conditions, but they'll head out as day breaks. Damage will become clear as day breaks, and ABC's Jim Ryan says some damage is already apparent.
In St. Petersburg, Hurricane Milton shredded the fabric roof of Tropicana Field, home to baseball's Tampa Bay Rays. The stadium was being used as temporary housing for 10,000 utility workers and emergency responders, but nobody was hurt. Across the state in St. Lucie County,
we had multiple tornadoes touch down here, and we have lost some life.
Sheriff Keith Pearson says search efforts continued through the night. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Tampa.
There's also no drinking water in St. Petersburg because of a water main break. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The crime rate in Wisconsin's largest city is trending down. Milwaukee's third quarter crime report shows a 22% drop in homicides since last year. Other violent crimes like rape, arson, and burglary are also down. On the other hand, vehicle thefts are up 17% from a year ago. Robberies are also on the rise. The candidates for 3rd District Congress sound open to debating each other, Jimmy Cuska reports.
Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden said he had nothing to be concerned about in debating Democratic challenger Rebecca Cook, calling his congressional record, quote, impeccable. Cook issued a statement saying Van Orden has been avoiding events where the two would be together and that he refused to debate Brad Paff in 2022. The election is on November 5th. I'm Jimmy Cuska.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Grief can affect people in different ways. When Lisa Marie Presley lost her only son, Benjamin, in 2020, she literally could not say goodbye. CNN Entertainment reports that Lisa Marie, Elvis's only child, kept her son's body at home for 2 months after his death. Presley's memoir, From Here to the Great Unknown, was published posthumously. Lisa Marie passed away in January of 2023. Her memoir was completed by her daughter, actress Riley Keough, who used tapes that her mother had made to complete the work. Keough says there are no laws in the state of California that state a body needs to be buried immediately, so they kept Benjamin's body on ice in a room where the temperature had to be 55 degrees. She also says that Lisa Marie wanted to do this because Elvis's body was kept at their home after he died of a heart attack when he was 42, which allowed Lisa Marie to take her time and say a proper goodbye. Lisa Marie Presley and Benjamin Presley were both buried with Elvis at Graceland Cemetery. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We only have a couple more days of this fairly mild summer-like weather before things change. We're talking highs dropping into the 50s by late weekend into next week. Today, sunny, 70, 51 tonight. We'll get to around 78 for a high tomorrow, then Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 63. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Some group of kids from Stevens Point were using racial slurs against black and mixed race players on the Eau Claire North team. Let's go to Joe. What's he?
One of the things that makes this state great is the legacy of Vince Lombardi. He tells his players, you are all equal on my team. Vince Lombardi would never have tolerated that sort of behavior. And he's one of our heroes.
Joe, as you always do, you nailed it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin native writer-director Steve Burrows, who makes our popcorn pick of the week, UP comedian Jessica Phillips, and Oswang director Barry Polterman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night here in the state of Wisconsin. We are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay on a gorgeous fall night. So wherever you are joining us from, whether it's on the stream or watching the radio or on the actual radio, old school, great to have you with us here at Nightlight. And we have a phone call. Sherry is calling us. So before we bring in our next guest, why don't we talk to Sherry? Sherry, how are you?
Good, Pete. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Listen, a long time ago, you mentioned a movie called The Hachi.
The what?
Hachi. Long time ago, you mentioned a movie called Hachi.
Hachi.
Okay. Do you remember that?
I don't. I don't know if I know that movie.
And you said it was one of your favorite movies. And it finally came on.
How's it, how are you spelling that?
H-A-C-H-I.
Hachi. A dog's tail?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't...
And you mentioned that a long time ago, about a year ago.
Wow.
And so you had said that it was one of your favorite movies. Now you don't remember.
Are you sure that
but
was
I
me?
I watched it.
Okay. So you watched it and you liked it?
Oh, my God. I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and thought about you. And I thought, well, thanks a lot, Pete.
Well, I hope it was me that did recommend it. And I love that you cried during a G-rated movie, Sherry. That's fantastic.
It was just like, oh, my God, the best movie I think I've ever seen. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I love to hear that. I love to hear that. And you kind of answered our question tonight because it was name a movie that stayed with you. That doesn't necessarily have to mean it was a terrible, horrible, scary movie that stayed with you for different reasons. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. The horror movie would have been that Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte.
Oh,
when
I was
real little, I saw that. And okay. Oh, my God, my dad had to come pick me up from a sleepover. I couldn't even spend the night.
Oh, that's so excellent. Two great answers. Thank you so much, Sherry. Thanks for the call.
Oh, well, thank you for your show. Oh. I really love you guys.
We love that you listen. Thank you very much.
I
and
do.
Have a great night. Okay. Bye-bye,
you're
Sherry.
Also, Pete. Bye-bye.
You know, I might have mentioned that. I'm aware of the movie, but I don't remember talking about it. So there you go.
What it looks like, you know, a classic dog movie that ends sad. You know what
came,
I mean?
Yeah, something came of it. That's fantastic. And thank you for the call, Sherry. All right. So we have a really interesting guest tonight. This is his first appearance on Nightlight. So I'm very excited to welcome this next gentleman. He is a former Milwaukee police officer, and now he writes books and does podcasts, and has a website called copsandwriters.com, and he consults on movies and TV shows that deal with police work and crime. And he joins us here tonight on Nightlight, Patrick O'Donnell. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on your show. What an honor it is.
Well, it's an honor to have you. You've got a lot of things you're working on here. It's pretty impressive.
I do, but first off, I want to give a shout-out to Don Brown, who made this happen.
Yes, he introduced us. That's right.
Yes, he's probably one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. I was on his show. I was supposed to be on there for a half an hour and it wound up being 2 hours. I was like helping
take
the next guest. It was a blast. We had so much fun.
Well, that's exciting because Don, I've been on Don's show too. Don actually reached out to me when I first started working here at Civic Media, and he says, I know your sister Julie, who's my youngest sister. They worked at a fish market in Evanston, Illinois together.
That's right.
And yep, I was like, oh, my gosh. That. So we had a nice talk about that. And he's been on this show before, too. Don's a great guy. So
he is.
I will second that. Thank you to Don. But it's great to have you here, Patrick. So before we jump into, like, your literary work and your website and all the things you got cooking, tell us a little bit about your time with the Milwaukee Police Department, if you would, and how you kind of came up through the ranks there.
Well, I started in January 16, 1995 was my first day in the academy when I raised my right hand and took the oath of office.
Yeah.
And the academy was 6 months long, and it was a paramilitary organization back then. they kind of eased up on that a little bit. And the training was very like boot camp-esque, but we didn't have to spend the night or anything like that. You were there for like 8 to 10 hours a day. And it was Monday through Friday. I'm just like, man, this is awesome. I was selling cars and bartending. I'm like, I thought I died and went to heaven. I'm like, wow, I'm working during the day and I have weekends off. And I'm like, you know, but you know, the instructors were like, don't get too used to that because that's not going to happen for too long. I'm like, all right, gotcha. So I went through the academy. I thought it was great. I had a very good experience, very professional. I mean, it was hard. You know, there's people screaming at you every now and then or whatever, but that's, you figure out later on why they're doing it. It's to inject pressure into you. You have to have stress because when you're on the street, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. And when you have it in training, and that's what's missing in today's police world is, you know, you never know how you're going to react. And, you know, the first time may not be so great, but you get your reps in, you start getting used to being all like stressed out and stuff. And then you kind of find your groove.
Yeah.
And it works out a lot better. But I went from the academy to District 5, which is on the north side of Milwaukee, 4th and Locust. And I worked midnight to 8 as a police officer. I was there for about 6 years. Then I got transferred to District 3, which is over on 43rd and Valete. That's also on the north side. Then I promoted to sergeant. I became a boss. And I got shipped down to the south side, which was a totally different environment. But it was a lot of fun. I got a real good taste of the city. Then I wound up working some different like task forces. And I had a great career. I'm not going to lie. I was a sergeant. And, you know, and being a sergeant was, you know, I was a patrol sergeant. So I got to be on the street every night with my guys, you know, with all the coppers. I was in charge of them and I got to go to all the cool stuff. You know, if something was on fire, if there's a dead body, if there's a, you know, an armed robbery or whatever, you know, I was there and I was in charge of it.
Interesting. It's fun. It's interesting that you said fun. Like, I don't equate, I know that there's a lot of cops that love their job, but I still haven't heard them use the word fun. So I love that you used that and you seem to really enjoy your time in all aspects there.
Oh, absolutely. I thought it was fun because, you know, I guess the main reason I thought it was fun was I'm doing stuff that nobody else gets to do.
Yeah.
I'm seeing stuff that like normal people will never see in their lifetime. And I'm being hit over the head with it on a regular basis. So yeah, it could be detrimental. There is PTSD and all that kind of, and that's very real.
Yeah.
But, and I don't want to make light of, you know, homicides or, you know, victims of crimes.
Right.
And that'll really change your perspective too, because I got to see victims. It's very popular in today's culture to, you know, this reform and that reform. And I'm not saying that's all bad. What I'm saying is whenever there's a show or like a tweet or whatever, you never see a victim of a crime. You know, it's like, well, you know what, this, you know, this criminal did X, Y, and Z. He was brought up, you know, this way. He never had a chance, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, you're designed to feel bad for criminals, and not all criminals are bad people at all. But there are some that I have, you know, encountered that are just nothing short of pure evil for what they've done.
Right.
But I've seen the faces and I've had to like deal with the aftermath. And that's something you never see, like normal people never get to see.
That must be really draining. I mean, I can't even imagine having to deal with that or witness that firsthand. There's a great line in the film. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Manhunter with Dennis Farina and William Peterson. It's it's the first Hannibal Lecter film and they remade it.
Oh, okay.
Manhunter. And
I do like Dennis Farina.
Yes. Yeah, he was my little league coach in Chicago on the Northwest side when I was growing up.
Really?
Yeah,
no kidding.
His son, Mike, and I were friends. So it was a real kick for me to see when he had made it to the big screen. That was really exciting.
Yeah.
But there's a great line in the film where I think it's Dennis Farina says to William Peterson, he says, "You sound like you feel sorry for this guy." He goes, "My heart bleeds for this kid as a child, but as an adult, someone needs to blow the sick bleep out of his socks." And that must be, I would imagine police officers have those feelings all the time. Like, and you can't, to solve a crime, you probably can't let yourself have feelings like that. You just have to stick to the evidence, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you're an investigator or a detective or even just a street cop, you have to follow the evidence. You know, you can't go into a scene with a preconceived notion.
Right.
Because that's going to cloud your judgment, et cetera. You have to go in there clean slate. And that's not easy to do. I mean, yeah, I mean, cops are people. They're human beings.
Right.
You know, we all have biases. We all have, you know, we tend to lean some way, which way or another or whatever. But that's where the professionalism comes in. And I was lucky. I mean, I would say 99% of the coppers and detectives and whoever else I was working with were just very good professionals who their hearts were in the right place and they wanted to do the right thing.
Sure.
They wanted to help people.
Absolutely. I would imagine that's why all of you go into that line of work. That's exciting. So where were you involved, Patrick? Did you play a part in a big case or get to the scene of something that started to be a big case? Anything memorable that you can talk about?
There's so many. I mean, I've been to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of homicides.
Jeez.
You know, fires, homicides, you know, homicide is, you know, that gets all the glitz and glamour because like that's the ultimate crime, right?
Yeah.
You know, I have so many stories when it comes to that, but most are not appropriate for your audience, most likely. Yeah.
What years? But, what years were you there? Did you come up in the '80s or?
1995.
Okay.
I started, and I retired January 16 of 2020. I did my 25 years.
Okay.
Then I popped smoke and I got out of Dodge.
Wow, I'm trying to think what the big crimes were. Were you ever involved in like a manhunt or anything or like, you know, stuff, the kind of stuff you see in movies or TV, that kind of stuff?
You know, that was almost like a regular thing. You know,
yeah.
It's like, okay, you'd grab a homicide. I remember I took my first dying declaration. I was in the 2900 block of North Richards. I'll never forget it. I'm a newer cop. I'm still on probation. And when you're on probation like that, you're kind of like the odd man out. Back then, it was regular partners. You had a partner that you worked with every night and you rode two deep. And for whatever reason, one guy's partner wasn't there, you know, like vacation or sick or whatever.
Sure.
They're like, "Oh, O'Donnell, you're with Jimmy tonight." And I'm like, "All right." And we were the cover car for an armed robbery crew that was hitting parks. You know, this is like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And we're in an unmarked squad, but we're wearing, you know, our uniforms. And we had two guys out there in plain clothes that were posing as just people hanging out in the park. And sure enough, you know, somebody shoves a gun in one of our cops' faces, you know, blah, blah, blah. We got the dude, you know, everybody's fine. Nobody gets shot. Everything's good. So it's like, okay, well, we still have like 6 hours left in our shift or 5 hours. We'll drive around and, you know, take assignments and back people up. So we're driving around in the 2900 block of North Richards and pop, 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 pow. We hear all this like shooting and we're like, which is normal actually in certain neighborhoods in the city of Milwaukee and in other parts of the country as well. It's
wow.
Very normal. So we hear all this shooting, but you could hear like different volleys with different guns and we're like, that's weird. So we turn the corner and you know, you cut the headlights and you're creeping along in the car real slow. Each, you know, I got my gun out, my partner's got his gun out, and we don't know what we're driving into. And we look and there's like something in the road and it's like, that's a body. Okay.
Oh, man.
So we jump out and there's a guy on his back and I don't know how many holes he had in his torso. He was shot up. And, you know, of course you call for medical, some more squads came and we're making backyards and you're in pitch black. You have your flashlight. You don't know if the guy who just like shot this dude is around or not. So we make sure the scene is safe and we go back and he's laying there and he's like, "Am I going to die?" And there was a cop from my academy class. And she's like, "No, you're going to make it. Hang in there." So I look at the paramedic that's working on him. he's out of sight of the victim, and he looks at me, he's like,
oh,
he does
man.
One of those, and I'm like, oh. So hey, I look at
Patrick,
him, I'm like,
let's take a break right there. Let's pick up right there when we come back. We have to take a really short break, okay, buddy? All right, Patrick O'Donnell's here, former Milwaukee police officer. Now he's an author of several books. We'll get to those, too. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Joint Council 389, based here in Milwaukee. They have endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz for president and vice president.
Trump offers nothing to a regular working class person. Talking about not taxing tips and not taxing overtime. Well, you don't have to tax overtime if there is no more overtime. That's in his Project 2025.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great... Not really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Our life together is so precious. Together we have grown.
Welcome back. It's John Lennon's birthday today. And I know our current guest, Patrick O'Donnell, renowned author and former Milwaukee Police Department employee, former cop, if you will, is a big music fan, too. So we'll get to that, I hope, too, Patrick. I hope we'll have a little time to discuss music that we like. I know you're a big Tom Petty fan, too. So you were telling a story, and I'm sorry to cut you off. I hate when I have to do that, but we have such hard breaks here. If I don't go to break, we just get cut off. So I apologize for that because that story was... I don't want to say getting good. It was horrifying. But you said a paramedic said the guy was not going to make it. And then we had to go to break. So please continue.
Yeah. So, you know, I looked at him. I looked at the paramedic and I'm like, well, I could see what's going on. And, you know, he was, as we would say, he was circling the drain. And so I looked at him and I said, you're not going to make it. You're going to die. And as I'm saying this, it almost felt like an out of body experience. I'm like, it goes against all of your grain as a human. Yeah, but this could be like really compelling evidence to get the person who killed this guy. So you have to do it. So I'm just like, hey, dude, you're going to die. Who killed you?
Wow.
And right away, F you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you don't understand. You're taking the elevator up or down, depending on, you know,
right.
I don't know which direction you're going, brother, but you ain't going to be around much longer.
Wow.
And then finally, he's like, Scooby-Doo. And he rolled his eyes and he died.
What?
Yep. So the next, I didn't get done with work that night till about 10 p.m. the next day. Because we were hunting for Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo was one of the local drug dealers. That was his name. What happened was there was a bar called Larry's Lounge. It's not there anymore. That was like a block away. And this drug dealer would carry 2 9-millimeters. He had 2 shoulder holsters. So he had a 9 millimeter under each armpit. And this poor schmuck who really didn't do anything except he bumped into this drug dealer's girlfriend on the dance floor.
They had words,
and then it became a running. He didn't have a gun. You know, he's running away from dude that had two guns. So Scooby unloaded two pistols into this guy as they were running down an alley, and the victim made it out to the street. And this is like a cold Wisconsin night, and it was raining, and the steam was literally coming out of like the bullet holes.
Wow.
And I'm just like, again, you know, it's like, this is just such an odd thing. Human beings shouldn't have to see this kind of stuff or deal with this kind of stuff.
Right.
Obviously, you know, nobody should be a victim of that kind of thing. And we wholeheartedly worked until the trail went cold. And I don't know how many different houses we made. I always had the shotgun. You know, you're room clearing. You're going through every room. You don't know if Scooby or one of his compatriots is waiting for you. He already shot and killed somebody not too long ago. He's not afraid to shoot and kill somebody else.
You know what I'm thinking of as you're saying this, Patrick, when I was a kid, I remember the officers used to come to the public schools or the Catholic schools, whatever, and talk about stranger danger. And they would talk about how, and you'd even hear this on TV too, how rare it was for police to draw their guns at one point. Is that completely gone off the radar now? Or is this just a regular thing where you guys, given the danger you're in, are you always drawing them? Is it still rare? Does it happen? What's that situation like?
Action beats reaction every day of the week. So obviously you just don't have your gun out at everywhere you go and everything that
sure.
you do. You know, you don't want to do that. You know, it's like, okay. Now, I worked in arguably one of the most violent neighborhoods in the city, i.e. the country, you know, at night. And sometimes I was by myself. You know, I had a regular partner, but, you know, what if one of her kids was sick? What if, you know, she's on vacation or whatever?
Right.
If there isn't enough bodies, there's not enough bodies. And if I'm stopping somebody, I'm walking up to something, I have no idea what it is.
Right.
Is my hand on my gun? Oh, hell yeah. You know, and if I have some reason to believe that there's danger, yeah, Mr. Glock was coming out, you know, but that doesn't mean you're like pointing your gun at everybody for everything.
Right.
But like what I was saying before, you know, being around live gunfire is not unusual in the city of Milwaukee in certain neighborhoods. And that's day and night now. Same thing in Chicago, same thing, you know, big city USA, that's not uncommon.
Wow. So, man, I don't even know. So what was the most dangerous neighborhood, would you say, in Milwaukee that you worked?
Boy, it moved around. You know, I worked District 5, which was at 4th and Locust. And that area was considered probably the most dangerous. The next would be 34th and Fond du Lac, District 7. District 3, 43rd and Valeet. You know, the north side of Milwaukee was considered the most violent, but then it started oozing south. And a lot of, you know, we call it the crack wars back in the 90s. You know, that's when things got really, really out of hand.
Okay.
And the homicide rates were just sky high all around the country, actually.
All right. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, it's homicide rates, violent crime just skyrocketed, and then the north side and the south side almost became equally bad.
All right, let's pick it up. We sort of set the table here. We've given a little bit of your background. You're writing books now, and I can totally see where you get your inspiration and the stories you've experienced, why you'd want to put pen to paper, so to speak. So we'll talk to Patrick more about his books, and I want to talk to you about your consulting business with movies or TV when you consult with that fascinates me too. So Patrick O'Donnell is my guest. He's a former Milwaukee police officer, and he is also an author and a podcaster. And he created the site copsandwriters.com. He's here tonight on Nightlight, and we'll talk more about his books when we come back after Civic Media's award-winning news keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Spread our wings and fly. Don't let another day go by, my love. It'll be just like starting
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we welcome state archaeologist Amy Rosebro to the program as she explains history being brought up from the lakes in Madison. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land...
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support. WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.